From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Well, good morning. Happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. June 13th, year of our Lord, 2026, live here at First String Sports, where I do my show every Saturday from 10 to 12. Today is a special show, guys, for a few reasons. This is the last show of year number five for the 2025-2026 school year. Last show, year number five. They say I couldn't do it. There were doubters. Nobody believed in us. All those catchphrases, right? Just kidding. Year five, my gosh, coming to an end today. It is actually show number 200 as well. So a special show today. Got a lot of guests I'm going to get to in just a second. But I want to give a huge shout out to my friends here at First String Sports, where I do my show every Saturday. All 5 years, they have been my day one sponsors. You know, back, you know, over 5 years ago when 1430 ESPN asked me to host my own show. I would be a regular guest on the other high school show. And, you know, they moved away from some things back then 5 years ago. And a lot of changes are going to be happening this year. You know, 1430 has now got the rights back to Fresno State Athletics. So this is the home of local sports throughout the Central Valley for sure. But back, you know, 5 years ago when they switched more to a high school focus, they asked me to host my own show. And I said, cool, yeah, heck yeah, I'm all in. What an honor. This is great. So in my mind, I thought, well, an hour show, talk about scores, bring on a guest or two. I didn't quite know what that was going to look like. I was going to have a lot of fun talking about high school sports. But they said, no, 2 hours. Anxiety hit. How the heck am I going to fill 2 hours of content every week about high school sports? Well, it became just extremely evident pretty quick that I was going to need more hours, so to speak. The amount of guests that I was been able to bring on, the reporting, the scores, the other media members, it's been an absolute pleasure these last 5 years, and happy to note that we're going to keep it rolling. Year six is going to be loading August 8th. Going to take a couple months off, relax a little bit, charge the batteries, do some research, visit some football camps, all that stuff that I really like to do this summer. And we're going to be coming back strong on August 8th. We are going to be broadcasting high school football games and basketball games as well. So, again, just a ton of fun that I have. I love doing the research. I love the community aspect of the Central Valley. I hope you guys do too. I hope you guys tune in and get to what the information that you need, and hopefully I provide a little bit of insight every show, stuff that you didn't know about, the insight on coaches and what they go through, and talk to the players, and talk about rankings. I love all that stuff. So I hope you guys do. Again, thank you to all of you that have been loyal listeners and all that good stuff. And I got a little trophy here from First String Sports. I'm going to put a plate on it, and that signifies 5 years here at First String Sports and the Central Valley Sports Report, and show number 200 as well. So hey, thanks again to First String Sports. All right. So we do have a Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating weather report got to get to. It's already 87 degrees out there, 10:09, high of 102. And we're going to be hitting 103 on Tuesday. So 4 straight days of that dreaded 100-degree weather. And looking ahead, guys, on Father's Day, looks like it's going to hit 88 degrees. Awesome. What a Father's Day gift right there. 88 degrees on Father's Day. So there's our Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating weather report. You know, I do have a, before we get to who's coming on the show, you know, I talked about summer, August 8th coming back, and I have a baseball dream vacation lined up. I cannot wait for this vacation. So you guys know that I collect baseball cards. I talk about it every once in a while. So there's a national convention happening in Chicago late July. So I looked at that like, pipe dream. Don't know if I'm ever going to be able to go to this show in Chicago. I think I'm like, well, maybe the Cubs are in town. I'd never been to Wrigley Field. Bucket list. Look on the schedule. The next day, on Sunday, the Yankees are in town. Okay, now you have really piqued my interest. Check Monday. And maybe another team's coming into town regularly. Maybe they're on the road. I'm not sure. How about this? The Dodgers are going to be in town after the Yankees. Suggested this to my wife. She said, let's do it. So we are all in. So National Baseball Card Show, Yankees at Wrigley Field against the Cubs on Sunday, and then the Dodgers on Monday. So, gosh, that's at the end of July. Cannot wait. I'm super pumped about that. Got my itinerary all planned out. Got all the, you know, what they call it, the Navy Pier right there on Lake Michigan. So lots of good stuff happening this summer. All right, so who's coming on the show today? Let's get to it, Metters. I got five different segments with different guests. We're going to be kind of all over the board with stuff, wrapping things up, a little bit about the future. We're going to be talking city-county football. This game's on Thursday at 6:30. It's at Tim Simons Field at Daryl LaMonica Stadium. It's been moved over from McLean Stadium. We got the head coach of the city coming on. McLean coach Andrew Pancotti coming on the show. Talked to him a few times over the years. Andrew's a great guy to talk with. And, a big game on Thursday. So they start practice tomorrow on Sunday. Yeah, it's going to be hot, but it's going to be fun time. I mean, just it's a central section staple, the city-county football game. Yosef Ferris is going to be coaching the county, so we're going to catch up with Andrew after the break. I'm sure you guys heard about that crazy Minarets baseball game last Saturday. I know it's been a full week, but I had to bring on Jesse Dara again, the head coach there. One of the more wilder baseball games, probably in central section history, heck, maybe even in state history, especially as high as the stakes were. So Minarets jumped out to that 13-0 lead after two innings. And then they got outscored by Pacific Grove by 16 runs. They were down 16-13. Ended up needing to score, four runs in the seventh and two runs in the bottom of the eighth to win the NorCal D5 Central Section, NorCal, here we go, regional final. What a wild game. Can't wait to talk to Jesse about that one. And then at the top of hour number two, the final hour of this season, Clovis softball coach Mike Noel is going to be joining me here at First Ring Sports. You know Coach Noel, a legend at Clovis West, starring in football and baseball before starring at Fresno State, is the only baseball player to play in two College World Series for the Bulldogs, 91 and then 88. That 88 baseball team, one of my favorites of all time. And you know what he's done on the softball field for Clovis High. 8 Central Section titles, number 4 all-time in California in wins. So Coach Noel, and it's fun because I see him every once in a while come here to First String Sports. He's picking up equipment, and he'll wave to me and say, hey, Mike, what's going on? What's going on, Paul? So, yeah, Coach Noel coming on, going to be talking about Clovis softball and his career. After Coach Noel, a little bit of a rapid fire. There's a huge league realignment coming. And I think you guys know about it, but maybe you're not sure exactly how it looks. Heck, there are a lot of questions that I have. And Bullard Athletic Director Brandon Gilbert is going to be coming on here to explain the best he can, which he has a really good handle on everything. He's on the committee of what it looks like for next year. So I'll give a little bit of a tease. So there is going to be a 22-team super conference, quote unquote. So if that sounds familiar, you know how the college landscape is going with all the realignment and, you know, Pac-12, Pac-10, whatever, being dissolved, going to the East Coast team. I mean, it's just wild, right, what's going on in college football. But our Central Section teams, I mean, it's certainly not as drastic, but it's going to be working on a bit of a tier system. So this North Yosemite Athletic Conference, 22 teams, 22 schools, I should say, it's going to be broken up in four different leagues. So the track still stands, the CMAC, North Yosemite League. There's going to be a new one as well that's going to be formed. Now, I know for boys basketball for sure, maybe for baseball, obviously I'm going to ask Brandon about it. How about this, guys? Bullard and San Joaquin Memorial boys basketball is going to be moved to the track this year. That means the Clovis High, and you know the success that Clovis High boys basketball had this year, and Central East is moving into the CMAC. That's just one example. So there, in thinking about all these schools, there could be scenarios where a school could be in four different leagues with all of their sports. That's pretty crazy to think about. Now, a lot of the other leagues make absolutely perfect sense. Tri-County Conference, it's going to be broken up in two divisions. I know they've done that in baseball the last couple years. For football, it's going to look different as well. The Bakersfield schools, they're going to have their own two different leagues. South Yosemite River League, South Yosemite Valley League. The Coast is going to have their leagues. The Visalia Tulare schools are going to have theirs. So, yeah, we're going to be breaking down most of our talk is going to focus on the North Yosemite Athletic Conference and what that really looks like. So, yeah, there's a tease. I'm really curious as to what Brandon is going to say about that. And then as the final segment, it's never too early to talk about football. So we're going to talk football rankings with my guy Trevor Horn down in Kern County. He has his top 10. I have my top 10. And obviously the consensus number one for both of us and for anybody that knows anything is the Central East Bengals. They return most everybody. They are loaded for next year. So they are definitely the number one team in the Central section moving into next season. So that is the show. Five different segments. Going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. I want to give a shout out to three different schools. I mentioned Minarets and their NorCal D5 regional championship. But congrats to Woodlake Softball. They are the D5 SoCal regional champs. And Hanford West, they went on quite a roll. They won D3 NorCal. So congrats to three Central Valley teams for winning their regional. Next year, there's going to be softball state championships and baseball state championships. So they'll be able to call themselves pure state champions, whoever comes out winning that. No more NorCal and SoCal regional champs. We're going to have true state champions. Excited about that. Speaking of baseball, Trey Morris was named freshman All-American at Oregon State. Had a phenomenal year, man. Check out that guy's stats. Led the nation for freshman in whip. Had an ERA of like under two. So congrats to Trey Morris, Washington Union grad, on the freshman All-American honor. And College World Series, we got two local guys playing it. And in fact, they're playing against each other today, 5:00. Check it out, guys. Timo Becerra, Buchanan grad, starting second baseman. I know he hit cleanup against Oregon in their regionals, super regionals. But how about this? Joey Volchko, star pitcher for Redwood, is now pitching at the University of Georgia, and they are playing Texas today. And not only that, but Volchko is scheduled to start on the mound. So that is must-watch TV if you're a fan of Central Section athletics, especially baseball. We got a Redwood dude on the mound today against a Buchanan guy. So that is going to be a ton of fun. That's going to be at 5:00. And last week, final mention before we hit the break, Coach Pancotti is here to talk about City County football game. Huge 7-on-7 tournament last Saturday at Fresno State. I wasn't able to check that out. Had some grad parties to go to, but God, there are a ton of athletes. I saw highlights of the event. There's some dudes this year, man. Football is going to be really, really good in the Central section. There's a lot of D1 talent everywhere. I want to give a shout-out to James Caruso from Clovis, running back. We loved watching him last year. Just posted a day ago that he got an offer from USC. So this kid is big time. Again, going to be a junior, so two more years of watching him play football. Also has an offer from Oregon. So just a little bit of a tease about all the talent that's coming for next year here in the Central section. Really excited about that. And we're going to be talking football. We got Andrew Pancotti. He is here at First String Sports. We're going to hear from him after the break on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Intergalactic planet jumping, planet jumping, intergalactic.
All right, welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. We got Coach Pancotti here. City County game, man. Snuck up on me a little bit, right? You just kind of look at the date, you're like, oh, that's way in the future. Oh, my gosh, it's happening on Thursday. Coach Pancotti is coaching the City Boys this year. It's at Tim Simons Field at Daryl LaMonica Stadium, 6:30 kickoff on Thursday, correct?
Correct, Thursday, because Friday is Juneteenth.
That's right. Yeah, Juneteenth, Friday. I'm teaching summer school this year, and we have that day off as well. So it's a national holiday. So Thursday, yeah. First of all, how you doing, man? I haven't seen you since football season.
Yeah, great. You know, I'm a dad now, so got the dad bod going on and working on that. So it's been really good.
All right, so tell me about the girl. Like, you showed me a couple pictures.
Yeah, she's amazing.
The hair is amazing. Let's talk about that hair.
That's what everybody says. It's great. You know, she's 9 months now, and teething, and just a ball of fun.
What's been the best part of father? And Father's Day is coming up as well. This will be, if 9 months, will be your first Father's Day.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah.
What's like the best part, or maybe something that's just surprised you about being a father?
I just think seeing her smile and look at you, and then, you know, now she cuddles me, or she leans to me to kind of give me a kiss, like a little forehead nod in my mouth. But you can tell, what you know, she just loves me, and it's awesome.
And you I love hearing that, and I know you're going to cherish every moment. But now that all my three daughters are all older, I one of the things that I really miss is exactly what you talked about, is laying on the couch, mm-hmm. right, and just kind of getting that perfect, right, fitting where she lays right on your chest and kind of cuddles up with your neck, that feeling. And watch TV, be on your phone, or hang out and do whatever.
Yep. Absolutely, yep. It's amazing.
It is amazing. All right, so let's talk football here. Practices, so everything got moved up because of Juneteenth, like you mentioned. Practice is going to start tomorrow, so you have three main practices. Is that what that looks like?
Yes, correct. Yeah, so everything kind of got pinched in. I'm not sure if it was Juneteenth, and also the graduations were all last week. So all the seniors are graduating on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And so we couldn't have practice, and I couldn't even use my field because McLean graduates on our football field. So you can't use the top field because that's where the fireworks are at. So it was like we were a pinch, and so we talked to the city county committee, told them, hey, looks like we just got to do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then dinner on Wednesday, game on Thursday. So it's going to be short this year. Hopefully they can figure out next year.
So how did you go about in choosing the teams? Are you on a committee? You contact other coaches or nominations? What does that look like for choosing the teams?
Yeah, so the teams are chosen by the council, but the players are chosen by they're elected by the coaches. So there's an email sent out to nominate your best seniors to play in the City County All-Star Game. We get a list about 140 athletes. And then me and my defense coordinator, and I used my football players, my seniors that hey, is this guy good? Hey, is this guy good? What's this guy up to? You know, hey, we need more linemen.
Sure.
Who knows that, you know. And the kids know the kids, right? Oh, yeah, coach, I got his Instagram, because everyone's cell phone number doesn't work, you know. And they don't look at their email, so you
That's
have
right.
to get
no.
them on Instagram.
That's right.
And so they answer back to that. But when the kids reach out to them, we say, hey, just let them know they've been selected for the City County game. And then we had a kickoff dinner about 2 months ago. Now.
How many players do you know are you hoping are going to show up on practice tomorrow?
Right. We have a roster of 60 kids right now, I think.
That's a nice roster.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's a really good roster. All right, so who are some studs? Like, throw out some names. Obviously, you don't want to leave out anybody, right? But who are some guys you're really looking forward to seeing up close and coaching?
Well, my guys from McLean. I mean, Demetrius Simons, he's going to be there. And you got guys like Jaron Scott and Sergio, who I've been able to coach for the last 3 to 4 years. And so it's really cool to get one more game with them, you know. And so I also have my D lineman, Jonathan McCarthy. Got some offensive linemen that are going to participate. My running back, Demario Banks. And so that's exciting. We have a lot of studs from Bullard and Clovis West. I think the Tafoya kids, he's in. Tyrene Pre from Bullard's in. And so we got some good linemen. We have Edison Lineman, good football wrestler guy over there. He's going to come play. So we got some really good talent.
You know who your quarterback's going to be, or are you going to wait?
Oh, actually, the quarterback is from Minarets.
Torn Wolf?
Uh-huh.
All right. Yeah,
he'll be slinging it. We got Minarets. We have the Memorial quarterback, the Roosevelt quarterback, and then, those are our three guys right now.
What's going to be your role? Are you going to be calling plays? You going to call defensive plays?
So, yeah, luckily my staff, I got a great offensive coordinator, Brandon Mua, and then great defensive coordinator, DJ Savoy. So their job is to handle those roles. My job is to oversee the team, make sure that, you know, we're situational and make sure we're put together and morale's good and substitution personnel. That's what I do.
So expecting 60 guys to show up on Sunday. What's practice going to look like? How you going to open up practice? You're going to be like, hey, guys, City County, this is a big deal, man. For most of you, it's going to be your last time being able to put on the helmet and hit somebody. Like, what's going to be your message to the team when you bring everybody together for the first time?
Well, basically just what you said, you know, because you always want to provide a great experience. This is it, and this is you've probably dreamed about this and wanted to play in this game since your freshman year, your sophomore year. You probably attended the games last couple of years. This is your chance to leave your legacy, leave your mark, or, you know, go out a winner or go out a loser. And so we'll just talk about that. Probably the first thing I'll do is take attendance, see who's here and who's not. Because if you don't show up, you don't play. You know, it's simple, right? So,
How many other times have you coached City
County? Well, I did one time.
What year was that?
About 2 years ago.
I think. Two or three.
Because
I think we broadcast, and I went to a couple of your practices, and I remember your sheet. Right? You had that little sheet. You're like, oh, this guy here.
You're not here. Don't ask me to play if you're not going to show
up. That's right. I like your style. Mm-hmm. Talk about the rivalry. I know, City County, it's been an honor for all of these kids throughout the years. I remember the Fresno Bee every year would do this huge articles, I think one every day leading up to the Friday game or the Saturday game, whenever it was on. They have individual pictures of all the players, write-ups about the dude. Every day there'd be something new about the City County football game. It's a big deal still, right? Just talk about the intensity, right? In the past, it was a true city-county game. I think it's moved away from that in all the sports. You're trying to mix it up, make it a little more competitive. But I remember, you know, I know you're a Clovis East guy. We're going to get to that in just a second. You played there. But it was always a time for the county boys to prove to the city boys, hey, we could play, right? We could hit somebody. We could play football, too. Now that it's mixed up a little bit, but how intense can these games be? Like, how much do you think guys still want to prove to the other guys that, I got some juice, too?
Well, yeah, a lot of these seniors, right, you have kind of two tiers of seniors. Some seniors that already took off to colleges that got their scholarships, got their chance, right? And so they're not going to play in the game.
The Brandon Smiths of the world.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And even like a kid like my Demetrius Simons, he's I might play coach, I might not. I might be limited. Like, he's ready for Cal Poly. He's all locked in, training for that, and ready to go over there and compete. He wants to start this year. So you have kind of two tiers of these guys. And you get the second tier that's like almost had a scholarship. They're right there on the line. And these guys have been hungry the last 6 months to prove themselves, prove their worth. And this is another chance for them to prove themselves. But a lot of these guys are going to go to City, or they're going to go to COS, or out of town somewhere and play football. So these guys have been working out the last 4, 5, 6 months. They're trying to climb the ladder of college football, whether it's JC, D2, D3, and hopefully get to D1 one day.
And I do know for sure that college coaches go to this game.
Absolutely.
I mean, I see them.
Yeah.
Fresno City, I know they got it out of practice. Yeah, I know that Fresno City has a new football coach this season, and, you know, probably checking out the landscape, looking for some dudes. Just kind of piggyback on that a little bit more, Andrew, but just what makes the city-county game, the football game especially, so special? to be named a City County All-Star is a pretty big deal still.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing to start on your own high school team, to play and start on a All-Star team with all the city and county teams, I think is really special. It's an honor, right, to go out there one last time and put those pads together and try to score a touchdown. And that's pretty cool. So it's a great game. It's, I think, what, 72 years, something along those lines. So it's exciting.
Yosef Ferris is on the other side.
Yes.
Do you what do you think that guy's going to bring? Is he going to have any special play? I don't know. Just kind of talk about that guy. We're trying to get him on the show. He's in Hanford at 7-on-7. That would have been a lot of fun to maybe bring up the rivalry a little bit more. But what do you think that guy's going to bring to the football field?
I think he's been around coaching for a long time, and he's won a lot of games. I know he was over at Bullard and Madera. He's at Garza now, and we actually play him this year for league. Our new league has Garza, Matilda Torres, Roosevelt, Hoover in that league. And so, you know, he coached, I think he did the NFL thing,
yeah,
right? So he knows football, great coach, and excited to compete against him.
Let's go back to your playing days. All right, you're going back to La Monica.
Yes.
And where you played in high school as well. How many – have you coached – on the field since the last few years?
Well, I was at Clovis East. We coached, you know, against Clovis High and those guys, and that was a home field. But since going to McLean, no.
What's that going to feel like, you think?
That to me is, you know, the mecca of high school football, La Monica Stadium. That's the stadium that it's a true football stadium feel, grass feel. Like, it's beautiful, right? So it's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
So your playing days, let's go back to that. Mm-hmm. You played in City County?
I did.
You did?
Yep, I did.
Let's talk about that. What do you remember about that game, maybe even being selected? Do you remember the coach telling you, hey, you made the City County game? What do you remember about that experience?
I'm pretty sure we had the Emmanuel coaches as our coaches. And
what year again?
2006.
2006,
yep.
Okay.
And so you know, they selected us, and I ended up scoring a touchdown, and we ended up winning, and that was an amazing time. Made some good friends. We competed against Madera during the season, but I didn't have, like, friends over there. But then we played together for, the county at the time, and, like, Nick Bates and some of those guys became friends, and great experience.
I think that's one of the things, Andrew, about – either all-star games or going and playing at the next level, playing college. You know, you compete against guys, mm-hmm. right? You hear about guys, and, you know, now with Instagram, right? You know about everybody, kind of what you're saying about contacting guys through Instagram. But I find out a lot that at all-star games and at the next level, like I said, that guys realize, hey, that guy that I thought was a jerk, that guy that whatever, is actually a cool guy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I like playing with him. Yeah. Or he's not as bad as I thought.
I remember going to practice, right? We were practicing at Sunnyside High School. And then after hanging out and playing Madden and PlayStation together, and, you know, we didn't have the online stuff at that time, but we would just go play each other and sit together and, you know, play football and eat food. And so, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
the brotherhood.
The brotherhood. Yep. That's exactly right. Let's talk a little bit. We got a few minutes with you. Talk a little bit about your guy signing with Cal Poly and what that meant to the program and how cool of a deal that was for everybody.
You know, he came from our feeder school. And, you know, this whole transfer thing everywhere, you know, these kids are going left and right. It's crazy. To me, it's special because he was 7th and 8th grader. I built a relationship with him. Went to his football games on Saturdays. 9th grade came in, didn't leave. He had the opportunity to go to probably any high school he wanted to. His dad trusted me and who I am. And he came in his 9th grade year. We developed him and we built him as a person, as a student, as a football player. And I think we've maximized his potential. And that's my number one goal when coaching football.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We like hearing those stories. All right. Final thoughts about City County football game again this Thursday, 6:30 at La Monica Stadium. What are you looking forward to the most when you guys run on the field and kick the football off?
No, I just, you know, one of the great things about La Monica is the sunset you see over there and the smelling the grass and just Yeah, it's seen some hard hits, man. But yeah, I want to see a good football game, tough football game. Hopefully it's close.
I think it will be. Yeah. We want a good game. Yeah. We want a good competition. So okay. So practices Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, dinner on Wednesday, and game on Thursday. I'm going to try to – are you guys practicing at McLean?
We'll be, yes.
I think I saw McLean. That online.
Yep.
You're going to be – okay. I might come try and say hi and chat it up a little bit and see what Thursday's game going to look more like. Andrew?
Awesome.
Thanks, as always, man. Appreciate it. Man, seeing those pictures of your daughter is awesome. I know my daughter actually worked with your wife here in Clovis Unified, so got that fun little relationship as well. But seeing you, pictures with your daughter and how much you smile when you talk about her is a lot of fun to see.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, you bet.
All right, man.
All right, Andrew Pincotti, head coach of the City-County football game, leading those City Boys. We're going to take a break. We got Minarets baseball in the house. We're going to talk about their incredible win last Saturday. Can't wait to hear all about that. We got Jesse Dara and one of his players here listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report, final show of the year before we take a couple-month break and come back on August 8th. The intro music, as always, I think Riley's been in charge of that, some Daft Punk, right? I like that kind of stuff, electronica-type music. A little bit of everything in today's final show. So just talked with Andrew Pancotti, the head coach of the City All-Star Football game, which is going to be happening Thursday at La Monica Stadium at 6:30. Now we're turning our attention to baseball. We got Minarets head coach Jesse Dara on the show right now. And if you guys have been under a rock for the last week, you probably have heard of this game, though. Either way, this incredible NorCal Division 5 championship game between Minarets and Pacific Grove. Final score was 21-20. Just a remarkable game to follow. I can't imagine playing in it or coaching in it or watching it. And we're going to hear from Coach Dara right now, who's in the house. One of his players, John Lara, who had a big hit early in this game. Jesse, I got to start off this. It is rare for somebody to come on the show two times in the last 3 weeks, but I would be remiss if I didn't bring you on again to talk about this wild game. It's been a week. Does it seem like a dream? Like, what's the best way to frame what happened last Saturday? What's been on the forefront of your mind?
Well, first of all, being on with you now two times in the last week or so means something good must have happened after that Valley game.
That's right. We've got to get you a little patch or something to signify this. Yes.
So very happy to be here again with you, Paul. Appreciate you supporting us this way and getting us on and letting us kind of, again, celebrate and talk about our kids and our school a little bit. So, the game. So yesterday was our last day of school, Paul. We graduated on Thursday night. So I think this morning and today was really the first day that I've come to grips with everything, and I have let it kind of settle in, and the emotions have kind of finally dissipated a little bit. I was on cloud nine all last week, so were our players. So finally now I can kind of look back with a clear mind and kind of enjoy what we went through the last week or two. It was an incredible journey, and it was something I don't know if I'll ever experience it again.
We're going to get into some specifics in just a second, but have you gone back to any clips, right? I mean, the game was recorded, I'm sure. Have you gone back and watched anything since then, or is it just in your mind right now?
No, I remember at least the highlights. I'm sure I will this summer when I get some time to sit down. But also, too, people ask me the specific questions, Paul. That game was 4 hours long. Dude, I can't remember who got a hit in the third inning or who was pitching at this time of the game. It was an absolute marathon, and really I can just remember the end. To get to that end, it took forever, but I remember the end very, very clearly. I've been asked some specific questions about how are you feeling there in the third. I'm like, I don't know, man. It was wild.
Do you have the scorebook at home? Have you even looked back at the scorebook?
No, other than the box score like we got here, no, I haven't. Because part of it is I know that everybody got a hit. most guys got more than one hit. I know we gave up a heck of a lot of runs as the pitching staff, and we played pretty good defense. So that's about all that I need to remember, and that's really the truth of the matter. All the numbers are there for you, but really, we got a ton. We hit the ball like crazy all game long. We played pretty good defense, and we could not keep them from scoring either. And it was a total barn burner.
John, what about for you? Coach mentioned that you had school the next week. You have school this entire week, graduation on Thursday. When you went to school on Monday, what was that feeling like?
Kind of surreal. I remember going to school and just trying to take everything in, but at the same time, you know, got to go to class, got to do this, got to do that. So I didn't really have time to really think about the game full in depth. So it was really just kind of a blur until the end. We won and kind of took it all in maybe a week later.
Were the teachers saying anything? Like, they got to do their job, right? They got to try to teach you guys something. But were the teachers just like, hey, baseball team, did they mention it at all?
Yeah, support all the way around, from the students, the staff, even the custodians, everyone. Everyone's just saying congratulations. People I've never met before coming up to us and saying, you know, this is great for the community, this is great for the school, you know. Just all of O'Neill's really really grateful for their support the whole season.
When you were walking around the hallways or whatever the campus looks like and seeing some of your teammates, what were you guys doing, man? Just like hugging each other or high-fiving? What were you guys doing when you see each other on campus this last week?
Just grateful for everything, and, you know, seeing each other in the hallways, just kind of, oh, do you guys remember this? Do you guys remember that? Saying, no, just like the game was so long, we just remember the end, a little bit of the beginning. And
yeah,
just
true.
After just taking pictures, being grateful for every second of that game.
I know, Jesse, you mentioned that a lot of the game is still a blur, specific things, specific hits. Like, how many of these what the heck moments do you think that you had during the game where you're just turning to some of the members of your staff? You're like, what is going on? We can't get it out here. Like, what do we do here? Oh, we're answering now. They're, you know, when they're scoring, now we're answering them, you know, late in the game. Like how many of those types of moments do you think there were?
I kind of got a two-part response there. Number one is we scored 13 runs in the first two innings. It was 13-0. And I was finally internally telling myself, like, finally, one of these games, we can kind of coast, we're going to cruise in, and we're going to be state champs, and I'm not going to have to worry too much, okay? That was the second inning. Then it all turned, okay? Then we gave up 4, 5, 6 through the next couple, and I took out our starting ace pitcher, Jamie Spurgeon, who had pitched his butt off but was kind of just running out of gas, and I still felt like we had a great cushion, and I felt like we had enough in the bullpen to still kind of keep it going for us, but I brought in a sophomore right after Jamie, and I think he was shaking in his boots a little bit. I mean, he hadn't pitched on that stage before. He didn't, you know, he did his best, but the results were not that great. After that, we ended up going to another pitcher who was his second time pitching the entire season. He's returning from ACL surgery that he suffered in football. So second inning of the entire season, guy's pitching in the state championship. And then after that, we brought in another pitcher who we relied on a lot this year, one of our core guys, but had arm problems for the last month of the season. And if the game were to keep going, Paul, I don't know who would have pitched. We were out because that state playoff, regional playoffs, is 3 games in 6 days. So nobody had their fresh, full staff for any of those games. Even Pacific Grove, their ace pitcher was unavailable because of the pitch count rules. So in addition to that, our field, when it's 85 degrees or higher, there is a consistent 15-mile-an-hour wind out to left field, and the ball flies. So when you combine the playing conditions at our park, which is an offensive park, it's skewed offensive, with the lack of pitching depth for both teams, if you look at the box score, Pacific Grove used 9 different pitchers. And it was a great strategy by their coach. He knew that they didn't have any one dominant guy, so he just kept bringing in new looks, new arms, new arm angles, curveballs, faster, slower, to try to keep us off balance. It was a good strategy. Luckily, it didn't work as well as I'm sure he hoped. But you combine the lack of pitching depth with the conditions that we played in, And then also just our whole season was based on our offense is explosive. So you combine all that into a pot, and that's how you get a 21-20 outcome.
Yeah, and 24 hits, 20 RBIs, obviously those 21 runs.
And I think we had
runs.
Something like 12 extra base hits.
And of note, too, you see a lot of these high-scoring games, 41 combined runs. You see a lot of walks or errors. You guys only drew 5 walks.
I know.
So you guys are putting the ball in play. You're making things happen.
Well, we are an aggressive offense. We do not preach patience. We preach aggressiveness. If you get a pitch that you can drive at any point in the count, we expect you to be swinging and getting your A swing off on it. Pacific Grove had a different plan. Okay, they knew that we had Jamie Spurgeon pitching, and they knew we didn't have a lot in the tank behind him. They were up there just watching them go by and not swinging until at least 1 or 2 strikes. So their approach worked. They got Jamie out in the late fourth, and so it worked. But again, once again, our bats are unstoppable, really, in my opinion. We were the best offense at the small school level. 1 through 9 was a really very good hitter, a tough hitter. And you look at the 24 hits, man.
That's legit. Yeah. I want to ask you about the final 2 innings. When you guys tied it I think you were down. You're down 4 headed to the 7th.
That's correct.
When you guys tied it, are you pretty much like, yeah, that's what I thought we'd do? Like, you guys weren't like super pumped, or were you just like, as a coach, like, okay, yeah, let's keep this going.
Well, I remember that inning when they were out there, and I saw, you know, we went down by 1. I'm like, okay, we're gonna get 1.
Yeah.
So I'm get 2. Kind of said, well, okay, I think we can get 2. Saw 3, and I'm like, oh, now I know this is going to be tough to score 3. And then 4, to be honest with everybody here, guys, I really thought that was going to be the end of it for us. 4 runs was a lot. But nonetheless, we started off the next inning with our leadoff hitter, Torin Wolf. Again, Jamie Spurgeon right behind him hit a double. 4 hitter, who's Brody? Got a big hit. And again, we just freaking overcame. Yeah. We rose up, as always, and it was great.
John, I want to ask you, where were you on the final out? And who did you go celebrate with and hug first?
I remember just...
Put this a little bit closer here, John. There you go.
I remember being in the dugout just, you know, I knew the guys were going to clutch up. I knew, you know, we have the best 9 in our league, in our section, and I knew that we were gonna go over that obstacle. I mean, the obstacle means nothing when the goal is everything. So I was in the dugout, and that last out, and just went running wherever I can find someone, just went running and hugged the first person I saw.
That's great. Was there back in the day we called it a dog pile. I don't know what you guys call it today. Were you guys just on the mound, just jumping on each other? What did that look like?
I was just on the field, grabbed a guy, showed him down, and we're in the bottom, and everything else was just
it was behind the pitching mound because Killian Pascal hit a walk-off double.
Yeah.
And he was rounding second base, and Jamie Spurgeon scored the run, and then everyone kind of convened right there behind the pitcher's mound. And Killian was obviously the target that everyone was going for.
You're chasing him.
Yes.
I got a couple minutes here with you, Jesse and John. What's the coolest text message or phone call that you received? I know, right? You got a long list of people that have poured into your life, but what's something that really meant a lot to you after the game?
You know, again, the specifics are difficult, Paul. I would say the overwhelming amount of appreciations and texts and calls that I got was, I'm still getting back to people. Hundreds and hundreds, and my wife made a comment. She's like, you got more than like on your birthday. I'm like, by 50, you know, like, this is really cool. And I heard about a lot of people that were watching us from afar, and that was really special to me. We have a small little community up there, and you never kind of know who's watching or paying attention. And hearing it from getting college coaches from the area, out of the area, you know, pro scouts are like, who heard of us, just a million people from out of the woodwork that you don't expect would ever know what we're doing up there. For them to see that and reach out was really, really special. And, you know, our little community too, I hope you guys know how like important this was to us. This was a huge deal. And they made it special. We feel that. We feel like we accomplished that people care what we did, because, boy, was it a lot of work, and boy, was it a lot of time, and boy, did we put a lot into it for that accomplishment. But we feel it. Our people, our community, our administration, our school, like he was saying, the custodians. You know, to put on a state championship game, dude, the amount of people that are involved in that whole process, from custodians to teachers to administrators to officials to CIF people, like just putting on a state championship game in the first place is a major undertaking. So I felt like everybody felt like they were a part of the team. And, like, from the grounds guy to the custodians to the principal, like, it was, we were all together. We all felt like the same feeling of accomplishment.
Amazing. We only got about 30 seconds here. John, I want to end, actually, with you. Great job wrapping that up, Jesse. What did that mean to you and being able to win such a high-level game with your boys?
It meant everything. I mean, I've played with these guys since Little League, and we've dreamed about doing something big for Minarets and winning a championship, putting Minarets on the map, because we've been overlooked. The whole time Minarets has been in high school, we've been overlooked. So putting us on the map and dreaming about it since Little League and doing something big with the boys you've been playing around in the sandbox, it's huge for the high school.
Wow, amazing story, man. I was following the game. I was actually watching Masters of the Universe in the movie theater. I had to excuse myself to go check up on the game, but just great stuff by you guys, man. Thanks for coming on again, Jesse. Just an incredible ride. And for you, John, congratulations.
Thank you so much, Paul.
You bet. We're going to take a break. We got Mike Noel, head softball coach at Clovis High, coming on the show next on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report here on 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue. In between Sierra and Herndon, I do my show for the Letterman's Jacket Room. I didn't pump up the Letterman's Jacket stuff at the beginning of the show, but I love doing my show from this room. The ambiance is perfect. The different colors of the Letterman's Jackets to my left, to my right, behind me. The hats that are against the wall, right? What am I looking at? Clovis West, Bullard, Roosevelt's there as well. Clovis High, Buchanan. The chairs. I'm looking at Reedley, man. The Pirates in the house. Hoover as well. So First String Sports, always shop local, man. Especially these guys. They get it. They've been my day one sponsors. Again, if you didn't hear, this is the final show of the year. We're going to take a couple months off and then coming back strong on August 8th. Just in time for football. We're really excited about the football season. Going to be a lot of really good teams this year. Got a really special guest on the show right now, live here at First String Sports, Mike Noel. You guys know his accomplishments in the Central Valley as a softball coach at Clovis High. He is sitting at 760 career wins, which is good for number four in the state. Could be number three. I bumped him up to number four because I saw you did pass someone a couple years ago. But number four in the state. In wins, 8 Central Section titles, 9. All right, 9 Central. The Google machine didn't work on that one, so 9 Central Section titles. He was named the 2017 Cal High Sports Softball Coach of the Year, and also starred at Clovis West. That's when I first started to see his name in the Fresno Bees. He's accomplishing a lot of athletic prowess in football and baseball. So, Mike, it's been a couple of years since you've been on the show.
How
have you been? You poke your head in here at First String Sports, picking up equipment and softballs and whatnot. We wave to each other, but how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here. It's always a pleasure. What you do for local high school sports is great, and I'm just happy to be here.
I want to get into your family as far as your son and your daughter. You know, I watched them grow up because I've known you for about, I don't know, 11, 12 years since I started covering high school sports. You know, I watched them grow up, you know, from afar and, you know, in the box scores and through talking with you and your wife as well. So both of them have fallen to the family footsteps, I guess, in the athletic world. Your daughter is working for the Colorado Rockies. How cool is that for you guys?
Oh, she's living my dream. It's been great. you know, she, what's great about it is she just went and found the job and moved to Colorado on her own. My wife and her moved on a Saturday. They got an apartment, got her some furniture, and she went looking for jobs. And she started out at Kroenke Sports, who owns a lot of – he owns the Rams, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, a bunch of sports in Denver. And she got on with the professional soccer team there, the Colorado Rapids, and then just recently applied for a job with the Rockies and got it. So she's been loving it.
And I saw you've taken advantage of that a couple times going to some games, right? How fun of an experience has that been for you?
It's great. You know, when she took us, you know, in the offices, it's great. It reminds me of that scene from Moneyball when he's walking through the Cleveland Indians facility, and it's great. They treat her great. Just last week she was down on the field for batting practice when Shohei was taking batting practice. I mean, this week she was down there when the Cubs were taking batting practice. It's just a great opportunity.
What's her end goal, all this? What does she aspire to be?
You know, I don't know what the end goal is. She
it's
loves,
a good start. Let's
she
put it
loves
that
being
way.
Involved in sports, and, you know, she's a go-getter, and I think she can do whatever she wants to be.
And your son, Camden, but both University of Arizona, right? Avery graduated from there. Cam's senior year is coming up, but he's found himself in the football program.
Yeah, he. What's great about him is he went to his first year, he went to their spring game and literally looked on his phone and found the person he needs to talk to and went up to him and asked him about getting in with the program. And literally he got interviewed the next day and he had the job that day. And he loves it. They treat him great. He's a hardworking kid, so he's going to fit in right. Perfect with them. This summer, actually, he's interning with the Arizona Cardinals. So he's doing it, and he's, again, doing what he loves to do. He's involved with sports, and he'll be a great asset.
Just an equipment manager, right? Just doing different things with the team.
Well, that's just part of it, but practice, he's in charge of the special teams right now. So he's the guy that – he works closely with the special teams coordinator, and they put practice together, and he loves it.
Is he snapping the ball at all? Like you know, you see that with work with special.
He'll throw it to him. He doesn't do the actual long snap.
Okay,
but no, it's just a lot of time. It's a lot of work, but they treat him great.
That's great. And different life phases, right, Mike? With seeing our kids, you know, empty nesters as parents, seeing our kids grow and go to college and enter different life phases. You're about to enter a different life phase yourself, aren't you? What's the latest with Mike Noel?
Well, after 31 years as the softball coach at Clovis High School, I've decided to turn it over. You know, it's it's been a situation of just – I basically grew up as the Clovis High softball coach. My wife and I were talking about the other day – I think it's been 52 years since I won't be on a team or part of a team during the spring. And so it's definitely going to be a change, but one, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I feel like the program is on an ascension where we can get back to some of the things we were doing in the past. And I think it's just time.
Was it a real difficult decision, something that you've thought about, struggled with the last few years? What went into it?
It's definitely – there's a lot that goes into it. You know, I still am very competitive. I love the games. I still love making a practice plan and going out and being with my coaches and my players. That really hasn't changed. My energy level still up there. I think a lot of it is just all the other stuff that people – maybe don't realize fundraising is such a big part of even high school sports now. To do the things that I think our girls deserve, you gotta raise a lot of money. So that's kind of a grind. There's the different meetings, and it's if it was just going out there every day at 3:30, I could probably do it forever. But you know, there's other things I want to do, and, you know, not necessarily something in stone, but I want to, you know, if I want to go on a Saturday and go see one of my kids at doing their thing, I'll be able to do that. And I haven't been able to do that yet.
Are you retiring from teaching too? Or are you going to keep rolling on that?
I got one more year.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'll have both kids out of college, and I'll be ready to go.
Let's go back to the beginning a little bit, Mike. You know, when you first got into coaching, what did you say, 52 years it's been since you've been part of a team. I know you coached at Clovis West baseball pretty soon after your playing career was over. When you took over the softball program, did you have anything in mind, like by year three, I want to bring it, you know, a Valley championship to the school? Like, what was that process like for you early in your career?
You know, honestly, I thought I would do it till a good baseball job came around. And that quickly changed. I really love the game of softball. Now, I'm a baseball guy. I mean, I'll sit with my son and we'll watch the Yankees inning 1 through 9 and not hesitate. We still love it. But the game of softball is such a great game. I love coaching the girls. And it was just a great opportunity. I couldn't be at a better place than Clovis High and Clovis Unified. I mean, if you look at that field they've provided, there's just not a better place. And so that's kind of what I was thinking, honestly, at the beginning. But, again, it changed quickly.
When did you realize that I think I'm going to be doing this for a long time? Was there a certain moment like, gosh, I am really enjoying this a lot more than I thought?
Like I said, it was early. You know, when I took over, we had Amanda Scott as a senior. She was going to be a senior. I took over with, I think I did 4 games. They had let the coach go. And so as a favor, I went out and did it for 4 games. I think my first game, I won a league title. So it was a different experience. But it was very quick. I love the pace of the game, the strategy of it. You know, if you watch the College World Series every year in softball, it's an amazing game to watch. It's quick. It's, you know, every play matters. It's baseball. You know, you can fall behind, but there's still that 3-run homer that can happen. So it was quick when I knew this is something I want to do. And especially coaching the girls, I think they really responded to me as a coach.
The structure that you talked about, how you love the structure of a practice and you love the nuances of the game as well. Just what were some things that maybe surprised you about the differences between baseball and softball?
Well, I think that was what made the transition the easiest, is that you still have to catch it and throw it, you know, and hit it. And so those things I knew how to do and how to translate into coaching it. The little nuances, the strategy part, that came pretty quickly just because I enjoyed it so much. I mean, I went to 2-3 camps, coaches, clinics every year. I mean, I really soaked it up. I had a very good friend that was the head coach at UOP that I would converse with all the time. So, that part was fun for me because it was new and I could just soak up as much as possible and implement what I thought I needed to.
When you look back at your career coaching softball at Clovis High, what are some real fond memories that you have? I'm sure you're going to have a summer of reflecting maybe a little bit more, but what are some things that pop into your mind? Maybe it's the smell of the grass. Maybe it's writing out the lineup every game. Maybe it's the anticipation of a huge pitching matchup. Like, what are some great memories when you think about
well,
that field?
It's all of that. You know, this year my coaching staff was comprised of all former players. And that really was great for me because any moment we had where we weren't coaching, we would talk about things that happened while they were playing. And that was really fun and a nice look back at the seasons. You know, one of the best things was the years my daughter was on the team. You know, she grew up in our dugout, but the actual best year was the year, her freshman year, when she played JV and she didn't have a car, so every day she would have to drive in to the campus on my cart with me and we could talk and have fun. And So that will always stick out as probably my favorite year or years. But mostly I just remember the girls. And, you know, when this girl stepped up and did something big, or this girl that hardly ever played got a big hit or did something special on the base pass as a pinch runner. I think those are the things I think about. You know, the championships, obviously they're great, and you think about those and the great teams. But I think it's just the girls and getting to see them get better and thrive in a big situation, I think, is something I'll always remember.
The proud moments, right, really, really stick out. And I like that how you mentioned that. The improvement that you see following girls throughout their high school career, watching them graduate. You mentioned pinch runners, right? Like the preparedness that you have to have for a team, right? You prepare during practice. You prepare a certain player for maybe one moment, right? You get a pinch running situation. You got to be able to score that winning run from second base. You got to know the situation, things like that, and then see it play out, right? Are those are the things, Mike, that you are just very proud of with the Clovis High softball program?
Yeah, I would say that's definitely it. I always felt like we could find a way to get our girls to outperform our talent level. Mm. And, you know, we were blessed a lot of years with phenomenal talent, and I think – but the group as a whole, I thought, always, you know, got better. And I'm very proud of that.
Is that what you want to be – known for, Mike, when you mentioned that this you're stepping down as head coach at Clovis High softball, but what do you really want to be known as throughout the Valley as far as your coaching?
Well, I hope people think that when Clovis High showed up to play them, they were there to compete, that the girls were ready. They'd been coached on what needed to be done, and that they were ready to do that. And, you know, in 31 years, I think there's a lot of times that that happened.
Absolutely. I know that rings true. I know I've talked to a lot of softball coaches throughout the central section, and you know, they just mentioned, you know, when the Clovis Cougars came to town or were visiting Clovis, you know, it was going to be a tough softball game. You mentioned, you know, Amanda Scott. You know, got to coach her senior year, and obviously sister Courtney and Jamie Southern. You mentioned, I'm so happy that you mentioned coaching your daughter and those moments that were special to you in special years. What was it like coaching those players that I mentioned as well?
Well, for the most part, it was really easy. And not that they knew everything. They made it easy because they were the best players on the field, but in a lot of cases, they were the best teammates. Amanda Scott, her year, she had, I think, 7 freshmen starting, and she had to mother them like crazy. Same thing with Jamie. Jamie came in, and she had to replace a legend. Mm. And, you know, obviously was wonderful at it. But I think they always made it easy because of the people they were. Not the players, but the people they were. They weren't princesses. They weren't expecting special treatment. And I would say that with most of our great players, they were some of our best teammates as well.
Is there one Valley Championship game that sticks out to you most? One of those the most satisfying?
I wouldn't say there is. I remember little things or a certain play or player for each one of them. You know, the first two were my first 2 years, and you thought, well, this is how it's supposed to be. And you find out that's not really the case. You find that out real quick because it's such a grind. But they're all special. The group that won 3 out of their 4 years, the senior group, you know, that's something that's a phenomenal accomplishment. But really there's not one year that sticks out. It's, like I said, it's just the kids that are out there grinding every day with us and coming up big when we needed it.
Was that 13, 14, 16?
No, that was 15, 16, 15? 17,
18. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay. When you watched Amanda pitch, we mentioned the Softball World Series, right? When you watched Amanda pitch Fresno State to that World Series championship, were you Were you there? I mean, I don't even know. Were you watching on TV?
I was watching it on TV.
Okay.
Yeah, she – talk about a girl that she had all that ability, but she was so competitive. And she was just – if she wanted to do something, it happened. She had that kind of willpower, I felt, always. You know, when they asked me if I would take over the team – you know, I was doing it as a favor. When they asked me that summer if I wanted to apply for the job, you know, knowing that you have a man of Scott in the circle, it makes it a pretty easy decision.
I guess I'll do that.
But I really credit her a lot for giving me this career, because she's probably the main reason why it happened. Honestly.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here, Mike. I know you're a humble guy. We know how good of a baseball player you were. Against one of your star pitchers, did you ever step into the box and see what you could do against him?
That answer would be no. And the reason is I'm pretty sure what would happen. It's just different. You know, the swings are very similar. But it's the timing, and if you're not used to what it takes, I didn't want to be a part of that. Plus, I wanted them to respect me, and I'm not sure that was going to be the case once they saw me in the box.
Did they ever try to get you in there? Come on, coach, let's see what you can do. I mean, that's probably not that's more of a guy thing, right, to be able to see what they could do against their coach. Probably not a girl thing, but did anybody ever kind of – come on, coach. Let's see what you can do.
I don't think that ever happened. I would hit batting practice maybe off a machine once a year when I was younger and try to hit them out and things like that. But I wouldn't put myself in that situation. I don't like to be embarrassed, and that was probably headed that way.
Do you have a story about some Clovis High baseball players? I think I seem to remember something of thinking that they could do some damage against one of your softball pitchers, and it didn't work out for them?
Well, the only thing I can remember is in fact, it was Amanda Scott's year, so it was 96. We had a little thing in the amphitheater, kind of a spring sports rally type of thing, but it was outside, and they had a, what's the thing where you...
Like a dunk machine.
Yes. And Lee Lambert, who was he was a stud pitcher on the baseball team, and it was against Amanda Scott, and they were pitching the hit the person into the water, and Amanda really dominated the competition. So I think baseball players, if they are watching somebody like Amanda's ability, I don't think they want any part of that.
Well, there's that video that's out there still of Jenny Finch making all those all-stars look stupid, right? Albert Pujols,
yes.
And all those guys, and
yes.
They're just laughing because they could not time anything on her.
Yeah, it's well, when you know, girls are throwing like 79 now, which I think equates to like 112 if you do the math of the distances. That's just something you can't just hop in there and hit. You have to see it over and over to have a chance.
Okay, Mike, we only have a couple more minutes here with you. You've had a wonderful career. Might as well just say this now. It's been a pleasure getting to know you all these past 10, 11 years. You've been quick to answer texts and answer my questions. So just want to say just what an honor and pleasure it is to, you know, I read about you and would watch you play, and then to get you know as a person, been a real pleasure for me personally. I want to ask you.
Thank you for that. That's very nice.
I do want to ask you if you want to give a shout out to all the people that have influenced your life and go from there and just express your gratitude to the people that have helped you along this way.
Well, that could take quite a long time, but I'll make it short because I've had a lot of help. Obviously my family, my wife Tiffany, and my two kids. Tiffany really allowed me to put in the time that was needed because she had herself and my kids out at the games. Again, this wouldn't happen if they didn't do what they did. My mother, you know, I think she missed one game in my 31 years that she wasn't in the snack bar at home games and in the stands for others. So my whole family has been very supportive. Clovis Unified and Clovis High in particular, you know, that stadium we get to play in every day and go out to practice in is something super special. And Clovis High, I never not once felt slighted or not supported, whether it was an AD or a deputy principal or a principal. You know, whatever I needed, they were there. If they couldn't give it to me, they would find a way to help me get it. I tried not to ask for a lot, but they were always there if I had a request that they can figure out a way to get it done. So that's been a pretty important part in this whole thing. My coaches I've coached with some phenomenal people. Like I mentioned, my staff this year were 4 ex-players, and I've had a lot of ex-players come back and coach with me. That's always special. You know, the way I felt like I had to coach, there was a lot of pushing, you know, pushing people and setting a bar, and when they reached that, moving it and making them go more over and over. And for them to come back in some way makes me feel like they got it and understood my methods. So I always appreciate that a lot. But mostly I want to thank the girls. You know, they put in a lot of time. I'm not easy. And I know that. And so they're the biggest thank you because of what they've allowed me to do. And they've just been a hardworking, tough group that I cherish and will cherish forever.
Well said, my friend. Thank you for again for all your years of service and the incredible gift that you gave the community and Clovis Unified, Clovis High, and the softball community as well.
I appreciate it, Paul. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, we're going to talk league realignment. Brandon Gilbert is here, the athletic director from Bullard. Lots of changes next year, so we're going to try to break it down the best we can on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. At First String Sports, just a great conversation with Coach Mike Noel. Softball coach, 9 Central Section Championships. He announced here, he actually made the decision this week, that he is, this was his last year of coaching. He's got one more year of teaching, and then the retirement. Going to follow his kids around. They're involved in sports. His son is involved in the University of Arizona football team. His daughter works for the Colorado Rockies, so it's going to be no lack of stuff for Mike Noel to do. But, yeah, really appreciate him and his friendship and, yeah, just a great guy. Speaking of great guys, look at this guy to my left. You like that intro?
That's smooth, one right there. Yeah.
Smooth. Brandon Gilbert, the athletic director at Bullard High School. We're going to talk league realignment. You know what? Let's go a little shout out to Bullard Sports. You guys had a good sports year, man. Baseball team went all the way to the D1 Central Section Championship. I know a lot of success in other sports. What's a good way to capitalize Bullard Athletics this year?
You know, it was a good year. You know, I can't complain. And obviously it's really hard to measure success in this day and age with all the different divisions and things like that and so many sports. But for the most part, our teams competed. And, you know, I think we won 8 or 9 league championships. And, you know, almost, I think, 95% of our teams all finished in the top half of league. And you know, our girls volleyball team, they completed a back-to-back, you know, Division III volleyball championships. And like you said, our baseball team was in the finals, and we were competitive in a lot of things. And so, you know, I couldn't be happier with the work our coaches are putting in and the support we get from the school and just our kids and how they go about their business.
All right, so let's dive in the best we can in this amount of time that we have. Yep. I mean, just lots to unpack. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised, right, how this stuff is going to shake out. And, like, you don't have all the answers, and coaches are waiting, and they don't know what league they're going to play in next year, so to speak. So the North Yosemite Athletic Conference is going to be 22 schools involved. I'm just going to read them off really quick, alphabetical order, and then we'll talk about what the different leagues within the leagues looks like. So we got Buchanan, Bullard, Central, Central East, Clovis, Clovis East, Clovis North, Clovis South, Clovis West, Edison, Fresno, Hoover, Justin Garza, Madera, Madera South, Matilda Torres, McLean, Roosevelt, Memorial, San Joaquin Memorial, Sanger, Sanger West, and Sunnyside. So big group.
Mm-hmm.
What's everything going to look like this next year?
I mean, yeah, and so I think it's important for people to understand kind of how we got here and why we're doing this as well. You know, when the CIF sets leagues, it's for 4 years. Okay, well, the old way of doing it is there'd be six teams or, you know, or eight, whatever, and you'd be stuck in a league for 4 years. And, you know, we all know of leagues and schools and programs that either A, shouldn't be in the league because they're better than everybody else, okay? And there's other programs the opposite of that that just can't get any league wins, and that affects their program. So I think and not just us, this is kind of happening across the section, is the thought is let's get as many schools into under one umbrella, and then now the athletic directors can control the leagues. And so the goal is to make these leagues as competitive as possible. You know, we want quote-unquote struggling programs to get confidence and get better. We want the programs that are doing really well to be around as many other schools that are doing really well to get that you know, that battle test in before playoffs. So the goal is to make everybody better. That's the goal. We've been doing it for 2 years in the CMAC and the NYL. We've had three mm-hmm. leagues, CMAC 1, CMAC 2, and NYL. And we've seen some programs flourish by maybe dropping down a tier and kids getting that confidence, and hopefully they can start building. And the goal, I think, for everybody is, you know, everybody wants to be in the top league, which for us going forward will be the track. That will be the top league. And I think everybody would say, I wish this program at this school was good enough to be in that league. But there's only six. And then there'll be the CMAC, the NYL, and then the new league that we formed called the Valley Athletic League, so the VAL. So basically these leagues will be organized predominantly by what base division each team plays in. So we're going to try to get all the D1 schools in the track, and maybe the D1, 2, maybe 3-ish in the CMAC and down the road. We're not going to be able to get them pure, but this conference will represent schools from Division 1 through 6 in every sport.
So football next year mm-hmm. is going to look the same except for the NYL and the Val?
Yeah, we had one change in this. So the track is remaining the same.
Okay.
You know, we had to do our football leagues early because of the way scheduling works. And so for the most part, the track is remaining the same for 2 years. The CMAC, we had one substitution, Sunnyside for Garza. So Sunnyside will be coming into the CMAC. Garza will be in the NYL. And then there was a little bit of movement between the VAL and the NYL. So
Basketball, I think this is set in stone already. Bullard, yeah. San Joaquin Memorial are moving to the track in boys basketball.
Correct.
And Central East and Clovis is moving to the CMAC.
Yeah, and again, you know, I think – all eight of those that you just, or, you know, the four you didn't mention, but the four you just did, I think, you know, all eight could have easily been in the track. You know, those are all really
sure.
good programs. And so, yeah, that's going to be interesting moving us and San Joaquin Memorial into the track. And, you know, so
it's a good word to say, interesting. It's going to be tough to get used to, let's be honest.
It is.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially for us, you know, our kids are going to have to up their game, and they're going to have to learn that, you know, night in and night out, it's going to be a grind, and you got to bring your A game every night if you want to be successful in that league. But it's something we're excited for, and hopefully our kids are, and I know our coaches are. So
is that going to be for 2 years and then you revisit? What's that look like?
So we're going to do year-to-year placement, okay, with the exception of football. Football has to be 2 years because everybody schedules in 2 year cycles, or at least we try. It's getting harder. But so yeah, this process will happen. So when the fall season's over and CIF has gone through and revised their base divisions, then our conference, what we're calling our conference exec board, which is all the district athletic directors, will get together and they'll do the placement. And then some of us will get together and do the scheduling, and we'll go forward.
Okay, so football is going to be your 2 year deal. Basketball, year by year.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know anything about baseball?
I believe they met this week. They have not released the placement because I know sometimes there's situations where by mutual agreement some schools could swap, you know. And so I don't know if they've done all that yet. We certainly haven't been provided with that. But I do I do know that I'm going to be meeting with some other ADs next week to schedule. Some of those spots might be placeholder type things for now until we know exactly what school's in there. But I think there'll definitely be some shakeups in the spring as well.
So if I'm understanding all this correctly, there could be some schools in there that are participating in all four of the different leagues in the various sports. So water polo, volleyball, right?
You know, if I remember correctly, I think, like, for example, McLean is a great example. I'm pretty sure their boys soccer team is going to be in the track. They've been very competitive over the last, you know, how many years. And so McLean might be one of the 22 that has a sport in all four leagues. I don't quote me on that, but that would be the one if there is one.
Was this an easy concept to talk to other athletic directors about, or was it really difficult to navigate through?
It's I don't want to say difficult, but I want to say that this isn't – for those of us that have been around a while, this is a foreign concept.
Yep.
And we've all been used to doing things the same way for a long time, whether it's since we've been AD or when we coached. So I think all of us – trying to understand the concept, why we're doing it, is it good for our own individual mm-hmm. schools, and then is it good for our district? And it certainly wasn't, hey guys, we're going to do this, and everybody said yep, let's do it. It wasn't like that, but at the same time, everybody was open to it and also critical of it, which is what you want. And you know, all the schools in our conference, you know, you've got great ADs who care about your kids, and they put a lot of thought into this. So, I think that's what happened.
Got another minute here with Brandon Gilbert, athletic director of Buller, just talking about the league realignments. Probably take a lot more time talking about this, Brandon, but I like what you said about giving kids different opportunities and giving them success. Has that been lost a little bit? We're so championship minded nowadays, but just the giving a positive experience, a winning culture is I'm happy you guys are have that concept in mind when thinking about this.
Well, absolutely. So I think if you were to ask all 22 of our ADs, everybody wants to win, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody wants to win, but I think if you're thinking long-term success of our section, that benefits everybody. And so at least in my opinion, and I think a lot of the ADs share this opinion, is we're all better when we're all better, I guess. You know, the conference is better when programs are getting better. And unfortunately, sometimes you might need to drop down a league to create some confidence and move back up. I mean, for us, our girls volleyball program is a great example of that. Maybe not at the league level, but at the section level. We had struggled for a long time, and we have been filtered down to Division III, and now we've had some success. Our goal is not to stay in Division III. Our goal is to keep moving, and that's what I would say about any of our programs. The goal for all of them would be to be in Division I, and I think every AD in this conference would say that too. But it takes time, and you've got to build and got to get the right coaches in there. And but we want to win. We want to dominate, but I think everybody wants to beat really good teams.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't do anybody any good to play schools that are struggling and beat up on them. It's not good for either team. And so I think that's what everybody recognizes.
Well, good stuff. And I think that was a great explanation of what leagues are going to look like. A couple are going to be pending next year. So lots of talk about that and what that's going to look like. But, Brandon, thanks for coming in. Appreciate
absolutely.
You, man. And
yeah,
I love running to you and
yeah,
all the different Buller stuff. So
hey,
thanks.
So this is the last show, right?
Of the year.
So
the year, yeah.
I just want to – I think I can safely speak for – all of us in education and sports, we want to thank you for what you do here. There's not a lot of you guys left that do things this way in a positive way. And so I want to thank you on behalf of as many people that want to jump on and thank you. So I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Brandon. Yeah. And go A's, right?
That's right. Let's go.
And go Dodgers, go A's.
Go A's.
Yeah, that's what I did. All right, thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate
all
my
right.
friend.
Thank
all
you.
Right, we're going to take a break. We're going to be talking preseason football rankings. Trevor Horn's coming on the show on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. On the line, no time for pleasantries, man. We got to get right into this stuff here. Trevor, what's going on? Let's go. What do you got?
You ready for me?
I am ready, absolutely ready for you. We got some. We got 8 minutes to break this down. How the heck are we going to do this? Give me your top 10 here, Trev. Preseason football rankings.
Clovis East, St. Joseph, Buchanan, Clovis West, Bakersfield Christian, Liberty, Garces, Hanford's, Larry Western, and then Clovis North.
And then Clovis North wrapping it up. All right. You got St. Joseph pretty darn high. Why don't you give us the Cliff Notes version on some of those KC teams? And I just found out that KC stands for Kern County. I got to get up with the lingo here. So why are
can you turn off Green Day so I can hear you?
I can't do that. I don't hear Green Day. Are they coming through your end
right now?
Oh my gosh! All right, that's home base.
There we go.
Make sure you guys. There we go. All right. They listen to Trevor Horn. All right. So give us a skinny on some of those Kern County schools, the KC schools, why you got them in the top 10.
Well, you look at Bakersfield Christian. This is the team that played for state championship loss to St. Mary's of Stockton, which Cal High put as their state team of the year last year. I mean, that was a game that Bakersfield Christian could have easily won. They had to drive in the very last minute. They lose quite a bit. When you look at quarterback, Lincoln Adame is gone. Michael Smith, the wide receiver, DB is gone. They're both at Bakersfield College now. Arnez Lee, I believe he's going to Sequoias this year. He's gone. He had 20 sacks last year. But you look at what they have coming back, there's quite a bit. You've got both of their top running backs. You've got Buda Wallace at running back. You've got Washington State commit. Owen Urosik, that's Ben Urosik, the Minnesota Vikings tight end, little brother. David Aguirre, who was injured for spells last year, probably their best defensive player. He comes back, and then it appears that Colton Michael, who was Tatchby's quarterback last year, is now a Bakersfield Christian. So that's an easy plug and play for the Carr brothers at quarterback. And then when you have R.J. Sheehy transferring over from Bakersfield High to Bakersfield Christian, that helps him out in the run game and the pass game in a big, big way. So the Eagles will be back again once again. And I think that it's really a three-headed monster right now. Liberty is the other team. Now, Liberty had a couple they lost a couple players here in the last couple weeks, the Hanson brothers, including Carter Hanson, who's a four-star running back, and his older brother, Bryce, who's a senior. They've both gone off to Garces, but Liberty still has a big O-line. They still got Pierce Buckey coming off the edge, who will be a sophomore, who's already 6'5", 240. You saw him on the baseball diamond this spring. You've got Dennis Perry, a big-time running back for them, Elijah Fudge, a DB, and a wide receiver, and a big old O-line. Liberty's always going to be in the play. And then the big wild card here is Team Garces. You know, this is a team that went winless 2 years ago. They went to D2 and lost in the quarterfinals last year, but they have a bevy of transfers. You have returning Mark Gomez, the lefty. He'll be a junior quarterback, one of the top returning quarterbacks in the central section. He's coming back. You've got Brody Letourneau, who's been playing great ball as a freshman at the safety position. He's got offers already. He's back for the Rams. But the big pieces of the transfers, you've got Carson Campbell, who's a Fresno State commit. At center, he's transferred over along with LJ Riley, from both of them from Frontier, and now at Garces, solidifies the line for them. And then the big one, the big transfer, is the son of Larry Parker, who was a Bakersfield High legend, wide receiver, All-American at USC, played for the Kansas City Chiefs for a spell. He and his wife moved back to the Kansas City area in Kansas. About 8 years ago, daughter Layla just graduated, and they have moved back for Jackson's last 2 years of high school, and he is at Garces. And when you look at Jackson, if you go to 24/7, they've got him as the number two California recruit for the class of 2028. Safety, wide receiver, more of a safety at the college level, unlike his father, who was a wide receiver. But Garces is a big kind of wild card because we're wondering what are all these new pieces going to mean for them. it should mean success, but we're going to find out week one when they go out to the coast and they play a St. Joseph team. Guys, I honestly feel like they get through Garces, they might go undefeated in the regular season.
So, Trevor, you've only left me with 2 minutes to talking about my guys. And, yeah, I've been accused of being biased, right? But no question about Central East being the top team coming back in the Central section with Dipple and Bayon Harris and R.J. Jefferson now who has transferred back. So that's a clear-cut number one. I got Buchanan at number two. They got three D1 guys, Tommy Devaney, a quarterback, Carvell Wafer, who's picked up an offer from Utah as well. Grant Mosier, he is a two-way guy. He's a stud. Clovis West with J.J. Howard, national-level recruit at quarterback. A.J. Williams is transferred.
I think
I know you love that kid. You love J.J.
Yeah, I do.
You saw him up close, and Major Lee at running back as well.
And I really like Buchanan this year. Very young last year. I think that's only going to mean even more for them. And then I like the fact I like Hanford. They brought a lot back. Tulare Western brought a lot back, including their quarterback, their top three wide receivers. And you throw in Clovis North there, you know, at 10, it's going to be fluid, and it's all going to play out in August and September before they strap them on for league in October. But I really think that when it comes down to it, the best team all year is going to be Central East. And, you know, they're going to get tested early on. But I think and earlier than everybody else, right, because they got a game August 14th, right?
Yep, they're playing early, and they got the Grant game at home as well. Remember, that was their only loss last year. And Clovis High, there's some questions at quarterback. They obviously had that strong team last year, but, you know, they ran into a really good Central East team. But, you know, James Caruso, I mean, gosh, the kid was just offered by USC, only going to be a junior. Oregon offered him as well. Real quick, Trevor, I feel like there's a really good talent pool all over the board in the Central section this year.
Oh, yeah, I would 100% agree with that. I think we saw that last year, and it's going to be even more so this year because I just felt like on air every time we were doing 17 scoreboard, I just felt like I was saying the word sensational sophomore week in and week out, and that's what we have down here, and you guys also have it up there. It's a huge junior class. The senior class is great, but this junior class, the class of 2020, I think is going to be the one when we talk about great classes in the Central section. It's going to be that senior class next year during the 2027 football season, but that leaves a lot open for interpretation and a lot of discussion about this fall.
I agree. Hey, Trev, as always, my friend, we need more time next year when the show ramps back up.
Man.
I know, dude. Well, it's my final show of the year, show number 200, right? I try to squeeze as many as my good buddies in as possible.
Yeah, that's a good milestone. Congratulations to you. The Fresno region, they just got to be, you know, over the moon and the fact that you've been able to provide this for 200 episodes. Congratulations.
Thanks, brother. And you do fantastic down there in the KC. I got to make sure that's one of our things now, talking about the KC, Kern County. Thanks, brother.
Right on. All right, man. Take care. Have a good time.
All right. Hey. Thanks. Again, I had to squeeze a lot of people in here. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Again, thank you guys for listening. Huge shout out to First String Sports. They do an amazing job here. Thanks to Joe Gomez, who produced the show. Riley helped out as well. Thanks to Andrew Pancotti, Mike Noel, Brandon Gilbert, and, of course, the one and only Trevor Horn. Have a great summer, everybody. Really appreciate all you guys and for just being a great audience and being involved in Central Section Sports. We will talk to you in a couple of months. Again, have a great summer, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.